popular demand. The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along. It's your favorite NBL One West player's favorite radio show, Brett Costello. And this week, joined once again by Jordan Scardetta. Welcome along.
Thank you, Brett. Great to be back again. And look, filling the unfillable shoes of Ben Pether, mainly because he's about a foot taller than I am. But certainly fun to be back in the studio with you.
Well, it's been another big weekend in the NBL One West. We've had games postponed. We've had buzzer beater wins. We've had top teams and undefeated teams taking the L's.
Yeah, both top teams in both divisions taking the losses. And one of them, yeah, in the crazy circumstance of a postponed game until 10 a.m. the following day. Not many NBL One West men's fixtures are played at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, but that's something new that happened on the weekend. And yeah, look, it's been a great weekend of NBL One West action, and I feel like we're just getting that momentum now, really ramping up for the finals. They're only a few weeks away, and I think the quality of play is matching the time of the year.
I feel a bit like a school child towards the end of the term. I'm starting to get a little bit ratty, a little bit struggling around the edges a bit, but we've still got three rounds to go in season 2022.
Yeah, and they're going to be three huge rounds, and we'll touch on this later in the show, no doubt, but none bigger from a men's side of the draw perspective than this Friday night as far as who make finals and who won't. Huge game at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre is going to be a massive one there. And then, yeah, on the women's side, we have, you know, the battle of whether Warwick can go through the rest of the season unbeaten, who's going to finish in the eighth spot, can Coburn make a push for the top four? All of these questions still remain to be answered in the last 3 weeks.
Well, we'll hope to chat to Janelle Morley, the head coach of the Women's Warwick Senators, to answer some of those questions for us, but also after that big win against the as-yet-unbeatable Joondalup Wolves until the weekend.
Yeah, massive win for them. And look, Ben Pether's prediction is coming to fruition. He mentioned almost a couple of months ago now that he thought the Senators would go through the season unbeaten after that point, and they faced huge tests in back-to-back weeks, Willerton at Willerton and then Joondalup at home this weekend just gone. And they have aced both of those tests, passed with flying colours, double-digit margins in both games, and have been defensively solid in both of those games too, even with a depleted lineup in one of them. So, yeah, certainly interesting to see. But they have a big challenge coming up this week from a schedule perspective.
Well, I feel like I'm hardly going out on a limb quite as much as what Ben did, but a prediction, and we'll run through the science as to why we're predicting this a little bit later on, but I think the Hawks men and the Hawks women can both make it into the top eight, despite their tenuous position at the moment on face value.
Yeah, so one of them's in and one of them's out as it stands at the moment. The men's team, according to the standings, sitting on the outside looking in, the women's team on the inside looking below, and looking at a Goldfields Giants team that could bump them out of that spot. So, yeah, it's certainly such an interesting equation for both of those, and we'll touch on a little bit how it differs for both of those two teams as well, based on what might happen this Friday night, and also what's happened across the season, because the way the standings are sorted out at season's end, according to the bylaws, means that it is a different equation for both of those teams.
We'll run you through all of that. The Southwest Slammers also getting their second win of the season. We'll chat with Corey Richardson, captain of the Slammers as well, a little bit later on.
Yeah, no doubt. Plenty to like for him about the weekend. Always fun to have it was a pseudo buzzer beater. It wasn't quite the buzzer beater. There was still a little bit of time left on the clock when Boy Touch hit that three-pointer that put them in front at Lakeside. But they're no doubt in great spirits after their second win of the season. And Corey will no doubt be a fascinating chat, because they have some really interesting young players on that roster that are going to be going places.
We've got the world-famous Jordan Scardetta layup and airball as always. All that and more still to come on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett and Jordan with you. Round 15 is in the books, as we mentioned in the opener. Plenty of action across the round, and that buzzer beater, none better than that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Look, everyone loves a buzzer beater win, and especially when it's when it's the team that, you know, is the underdog, I guess, and fighting for their lives. But yeah, it's great to see those buzzer beater shots hit. We've seen a few this year, and seeing another one on the weekend, it warms the heart. I always love seeing those.
Well, we touched also in the opener on that big game with the Prairie Lakes Hawks and the Geraldton Buccaneers getting delayed from the Saturday night, played at 10 a.m. Under 8 mini ball time on the Sunday morning, pretty much.
And I'll go early on this one, but that was my fouled out for the week. Not that it's anyone's fault, but a NBL One West men's game being played at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. I mean, most of the guys who play in these games usually aren't out of bed at 10 a.m. on a Sunday unless they've got children of their own. So, that's a big one. You know, it's nobody's fault. Obviously, we have to keep our players safe, and the condition of the court wasn't suitable on Saturday night, given the amount of rain and the humidity and those sorts of things up in Geraldton. But yeah, 10 a.m. on a Sunday, and look, they clearly had their Weet-Bix that morning, the Prairie Lakes Hawks, because they come up with a win. They were challenged throughout that game as well, and pushed away late. Really defensively solid performance, and they've been so indifferent with their form this year. Like they have been the toughest team to read on the season, and their record reflects it. They're 9-9. You know, they're just an impossible team to read at the moment, the Prairie Lakes Hawks. Their very best, we've seen, it can beat the Warwick Senators, the Joondalup Wolves, the Rockingham Flames. You know, they're all teams that are pushing for top four at the moment. Their best can beat those teams, and they have done that at home. They've done it, you know, at Bendat Basketball Centre, but they've done it. But now they've beaten a team who's on top of the ladder, lost very few games this year at their home court where they hadn't lost all season. You know, that's a huge win, not only for the context of them making the finals, but to give them some real belief heading into the last three rounds of the year, because they've got a real test on Friday night. And yeah, they've got three teams they probably would say they should beat after that, but you need to have that winning feeling going around, given the tumult that's been amongst their playing group this year, with players going in and out and those kind of things. That's a character win for them to go up, have the adversity of, yep, you know what, we're going to have to play at an unusual time. You know, we can't go and sleep in our own beds. You know, we're all those factors sort of weighing against them, and they come up and win a big game against a very, very good Buccaneers lineup. So that's a huge character win for them.
Just 66 points for the Bucks, quite a low scoring affair across the board. 6 points for them in quarter two. A scoring concern or just a blip?
I'd say just a blip. I wouldn't want to read in too much into one game like that. We've said, you know, that's the duality of the Prairie Lakes Hawks. They can be very, very good, or you know, they can come up very, very short and be very lacking. So they would know that the Hawks are capable of shutting down a team like that, but they would also look at the factors surrounding the game. You know, it was cancelled for both teams, you know, or postponed, I should say, for both teams. You know, so they're playing at an unfamiliar time and those sort of things. Players are creatures of habit, and they would have different routines for games at different times of day. And so I wouldn't want to, if I was the Buccaneers coaching staff, I wouldn't read too much into that result. You sort of look at the fundamental errors you might have made in that game, and then you bank it and move on. You don't become too concerned about it, and they wouldn't. They're still sitting on top of the standings. They still have a final series to worry about, you know, and they'll be playing at least one of those finals, probably two, at Active West Stadium. So, you know, they'll have all of that to worry about. They won't be sweating themselves over a loss at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
The other big one that we were looking forward to on the weekend, in the men's and the women's for that matter, was the Wolves versus the Senators. The Wolves getting up in that one, in the men's, 89-78. And throughout the course of that game, it probably wasn't as close as we may have expected initially. A few outs for the Senators still.
Yeah, that's right. And they're having to manage a bit of workload at the moment, given their four games in 7 days. But they're coming out and playing beautifully. And it's, as much as anything, it's their defense that's getting it done. As I said before, I watched them play against Willerton on the Friday night a couple of weeks ago, and in that win there, and you didn't feel like they were getting it really clicking offensively. Like, the, you know, shots weren't dropping for them. Their shooting percentage was pretty poor, especially through the first half of that game, and it wasn't really working for them. But they were able to just lock it down defensively. Like, I've never seen the Willerton Tigers be up against the shot clock so hard for so long in that game. They were able to really make sure that the Tigers were on the outside, You know, they had to stick to the perimeter. They couldn't get any penetration. They were taking low percentage shots. And, you know, they're doing the same and strangling teams like that, like they did to the Wolves as well. And they were good enough to do it for a full 40 minutes. You know, they were good enough with the players they had on the court. And then put up 83 points themselves. That's a winning score on most nights, even when you don't hold the opposition to a score of below 70. So that's a really good, solid all-round performance. And that's exactly the team they are right now, Warwick. You look at their, particularly their starting five, and you don't feel like they have a weakness. And then you've got Nicole Jordison-Jordan to come off the bench if she needs to do a lockdown defensive role, and she can also distribute really well on the offensive end. Alyssa Duncan, in minutes where she's needed. She only played, I think, 5.5 minutes on the weekend. But in a pinch, when it's necessary, if one of their bigs gets into foul trouble, she can very much step in and play that role really capably. She did it so well and effectively against the Tigers. So, you know, that's two that you can rely on pretty heavily off the bench. They don't go too deep into their bench, but they don't need to at the moment. You know, so there's a part of me that feels like, okay, you know, maybe they're, you know, a little bit of a form dip, or, you know, two players getting into foul trouble away from, you know, maybe seeing some issues on any given night. And when it's single elimination in the finals, that could potentially pose problems. But when they're starting five and that top seven that they've got is so strong, you know, right now it's not causing Janelle Morley any concern. So, you know, one of those to keep in the back of the mind that maybe their depth isn't quite there, or we haven't seen enough of their depth this year to know whether that depth is there. But I don't think it's really concerning them at the moment, because their win streak that they're on is phenomenal and they're playing incredibly well. They're not looking like they're going to get beaten.
Sticking with the women, I feel like the Willetton Tigers and the injury to Gemma Gaddy may have almost closed out the Goldfield Giants' opportunity for that inaugural season and getting straight through to the finals.
Yeah, that would have been an absolute fairy tale story, and still could be. You know, they're tied on wins with the Perry Lakes Hawks, and we can get into that when we look at the games to come a bit later on. But yeah, that's a really tough one for Goldfields, and you love hearing those fairy tale stories of the team that's, you know, coming up on the rise. We saw it in the NBL this year with the Jack Jumpers. You know, everyone gets behind the new team and hopes that they do particularly well, and, you know, as I said, there's still a chance for Goldfields. That does make it hard. You know, when one of your key players goes down with an injury, and that makes it tough. But yeah, from a Willetton perspective, you know, they're fighting for top two now. You know, I know that Sam Lubke's being managed throughout this season, has been carrying some sort of injury throughout the year, and she is being managed in her minutes and the way she's being used. Definitely not as dynamic a player as she was last year. It's really clear that she's not moving with the freedom that she did in that season last year, where she had a game when she put up 50 points. You know, it was incredible throughout the season. Output is down, understandably so. So, you know, there's maybe, I'm probably more concerned about Willetton's ability to defend their championship from last year than either of the other teams above them. But they keep beating the teams that are put in front of them, and that's all you can ask of them.
You mentioned a little bit earlier on, the fouled out was the court up there at Geraldton, so that one definitely gets a fouled out. What was your and one in the round that was?
Yeah, I had to go with, you know, the underdog team coming up and winning one, but the way it happened, boy touch, hitting the, you know, pseudo buzzer beater in that game against Lakeside, you know, sort of taking the responsibility on himself. You can see, if you go back to the NBL One app or NBL1.com.au or even in the NBL One's Twitter feed, you know, and look at that highlight, you can see he does have he sort of assesses the lay of the land. He didn't do the kind of, you know, what we might have seen someone like earlier this season, like a Marshall Nelson do for Rockingham, or, you know, those kind of guys who take the inbound and you know that they are going to take that shot. You know, boy touch probably is going to take that shot, but he really does assess the lay of the land. He has a good look around for 4 or 5 seconds and then says, nope, everyone's kind of closed off, I'm just taking this shot. Takes it upon himself, hits the three, puts them in front. They defend the last 5 seconds of the game and win it. So yeah, he gets the and one for me. That was an excellent, excellent piece of play, and great to see the Slammers getting back on the winner's board. A little too late for my liking, though. I picked them about a month ago to beat Lakeside and knock them off.
Let you down.
Just happened a month too late, but still better late than never.
We'll be back after the break to talk some more women's NBL One West with the head coach of the women's Warwick Senators, Janelle Morley, to help celebrate that big win on the weekend here on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
So good.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show, and this time we're joined on the line by the head coach of the Women's Warwick Senators, Janelle Morley. Welcome along to the show.
Hi, Brett. Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure.
Nice to be here.
Pleasure to get one of our female coaching fraternity onto the show. Your dwindling numbers this season with the likes of Dockie Black not being with the Hawks this year.
There's definitely a few of us. Megan, Tomo over at East Perth, and I also ran into one of our fellow coaches over at Redbacks this weekend, and we had a good chat too. So there's definitely a few of us in the league this year, but just a couple.
We'd love to have more. We want more female commentators on the calls with us for the live streams, and we want more female coaches in the mix as well. Nothing. We had Craig Mansfield on last week. Nothing against the likes of the guys who are plying their trade, but more girls would be great.
Yeah, some diversity in all of the roles brings different ways of looking at things and makes it fun too. So, yeah, definitely in all the roles, not only male-female, but looking at people from different backgrounds as well. I think that's definitely something that the league is looking at and we should be looking at to represent the community that we have.
Now, we have to touch on the big one, of course, the reason we've got you on this week. Big, big win on the weekend. You've kept your winning streak rolling there at the Senators, and you were able to end the streak of the Goliath, the Joondalup Wolves in the women. Congratulations on that big result.
It was a tough game. We knew it was going to be coming up against Joondalup, and, it was a home game for us. They brought the big crowd, and it was a really fantastic atmosphere down at Warwick. We had our new stand out, and We packed it out. I'm not sure what we would have done without that new stand there at Warwick because it was pretty full and it was a great atmosphere. But it was always going to be a good game. To be honest, I think to have a run into finals without a loss, sometimes as a coach you get a bit nervous. So they were probably going to have one and we were lucky enough to top them off. We were prepared and ready to take that team on. And I think the girls really brought their game from the start. We started really well. We blew them out in the first couple of minutes, but we knew they would never go away. They were a quality side, and they kept coming back at us all game. It was definitely a game of runs, and that's what we talked about throughout the game, that they weren't going to go away. They were going to keep coming, so we had to keep going throughout that whole game. And whilst I think we had a pretty good win and a pretty, I think we won by 18 in the end. I'm not sure that was reflective of the game because it was close the whole way through.
Sure, I'm sure the coach's mindset is one game at a time and we're just saying week to week, but this is, that game on the weekend is now part of a 13 game run that you've gone winning on, including two big wins over the last couple of weeks. How do you keep a lid on it from a coaching perspective at the day-to-day when you're at training and stuff like that? Because I'm sure the players are subconsciously aware of how well they're all playing at the moment and the kind of run that you're on.
Yeah, look, we over the last couple of weeks in particular, our motto has been keep building, and we need to keep building. And we might have beaten these teams the last couple of weeks, but they'll look at that and they'll change what they're doing, and we need to keep building to be able to beat them again as we head into finals. And there is, Mandra is the same. They're getting better every game they play. So there's a lot of quality teams that we're going to come up against, and we need to keep going. I must admit, I had someone say to me, oh, come on, just let the lid off and say that to me today. And I said, no, this is one game at a time, definitely for us. And we've said that from day one. And that's what we'll continue to do. And the reality for us is with the Centre of Excellence game, we've got four games in 7 days, which is a pretty big load. So we can't dwell on the weekend. We need to be ready. We're hitting the court again this week, and then again two games on the weekend. So a pretty big load, and so we want to celebrate and look at what we did on the weekend, but we need to keep building on that and moving forward.
So I called the Willetton game last weekend, last Friday night, and I look at the team sheet before the game. I say, okay, Chloe Forster's missing. That's going to be a big hole in that lineup. And then you get 35 minutes out of Nicole Jordison-Jaw, who just doesn't seem to age at all, and puts up some points, does some great distribution work. How big is it to be able to have someone with that experience and that ability be able to come off the bench, and never mind at her age as well, and have a big impact for you in a season where you're performing the way you are?
Yeah, look, Nicole has done everything that we've asked of her and played her role to the T this year. She's got better again this year than what she was last year, and nobody thought that that was possible. And she's coming out and proving that she's a leader because she's doing every role she needs to do. When she needs to come off the bench, she's coming off the bench and putting in solid minutes. And the couple of games where we've been down on players, like you said, she's played, you know, 35 minutes plus and done everything she needed. So I think that quality is going through the entire squad. And you can see she was diving on the ball on Saturday night at the end of the game against Joondalup. And that is a true leader, someone that is prepared to do whatever role they need to do to ensure that the team has a win. So, yeah, look, Nick has been the heart and soul of Warwick for a while, and she's pretty determined this year to continue helping to develop our juniors. And that has been a part of it for her this year, is to help our juniors continue to develop and step back when she needs to, but also step up when she needs to. So, yeah, definitely someone I've played with and now had the opportunity to coach, and really glad she's part of our squad.
This is the radio show of the players and the clubs, the NBL One West players' favoured radio show. So no doubt, as a coach, you are aware of the prediction that was made by Ben Pether on this very show, that you wouldn't lose a game from here on out. And that coincided with the arrival of Leonie Fibich. Can you speak to her impact on this team and how much you've been able to get out of her, and what's been different about her game that's really helped you guys go to another level?
Yeah, look, Leo came to us as a little bit of a non, because a couple of the Nat had played with her overseas, and I I'm in contact with one of her coaches over in Germany. So we had a bit of an understanding of the type of player that we were getting. But she's everything and more from a perspective of the role that she plays in the team. I honestly don't think she's hit the extent of what she has to bring to this league yet. I would absolutely keep an eye on her over weeks to come and into finals, because she's got another level to go. And it was only this weekend that I said to the girls, she can jump, put the ball up. And I don't know if you saw, but a couple of the passes that she actually took were up pretty close to that ring on Saturday night. I think there's a photo that Eric took that shows just how high she's getting, and that athleticism is fantastic. But the other side of it for us is she has just absolutely become a part of the Warwick culture, not only the players but the club. Everyone down there knows who she is, and that has just happened so quickly. So to have a player that comes in and buys into your culture, becomes a part of the team, works with the juniors during the day, helps them to develop, and really loving West Australia. She's bought a surfboard. She's been going out surfing and been playing a bit of beach volleyball. So she's loving the Australian lifestyle, and you can see that on court as well, because she's really coming into her game. And yeah, she's going to take it another level over the next couple of weeks. So can't wait to see her as we head into finals.
What's your view, Janelle, on the upcoming, obviously finals are now well and truly in your sights. You've got the upcoming finals series. What's your view on this current finals series that we've got, and the format that's being used by the NBL One West in determining that eventual champion?
Last year, some of it was pretty tough with regards to the Friday, Saturday night backup. It's definitely an advantage to be in that top four, to win in that first weekend and have the opportunity to have a rest on the Friday night and watch the teams go at it, whoever you might be playing on the Saturday night. But I think it's, from my perspective, I think it does give an advantage to that top four finish, and I think it makes the teams fight harder during the season to have that. The other side of it for me is I prefer the shortened version, where it doesn't play out for too long. I think we have a long enough season as it is. So going into a finals the way that we have last year, you know, I thought it worked quite well, and I'm really looking forward to the final series this year.
Well, thank you, Janelle. We've got those series across the, if I recall correctly, the 3rd and 4th of September, sounds about right. Friday night at least anyway, is that women's grand final to look forward to. And we've got the final series through that second half of August. So good luck towards this tail end of the season and as you get into those finals.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and thanks for having us.
Janelle Morley there, the head coach of the Warwick Senators women.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. As you look ahead to round 16 this weekend, you can check out all of the games over at nbl1.com.au/west. Fixtures and, of course, live streams will be available there. I'm certainly looking forward to that big Friday night one. It doesn't sound exciting on paper, 8v9, but geez, there's going to be some passion in that one and really looking to try and secure a place in the finals for either the Perth Redbacks or the Perry Lakes Hawks in the men, Jordan.
Yeah, that's a huge one. And we'll look at the latter implications in a moment, because there's a chance that these two teams end up equal on wins at the end of the season, and this is going to be so, so pivotal. Like, as it stands in that competition, they're both 9-9. On the season, the Redbacks and the Hawks, huge win for the Hawks. Can't be stated enough on Sunday. That win over the Bucks was enormous on Sunday. So, you know, they're both sitting 9-9. So this becomes a very obviously pivotal game, not just for that, but for the way the ladder shakes down as far as the way it's ordered come finals time. Because if two teams are equal on wins, it's actually done on head-to-head record if they've played against each other home and away, which as of Friday night, these two teams will have. So earlier this year, it was the Perry Lakes Hawks winning quite handsomely. They won by 28, 111-83 over the Perth Redbacks at Bendat Basketball Centre. So this one at Belmont Oasis becomes huge. If the Redbacks have a huge night and win by 29, they all of a sudden lead the head-to-head tiebreaker. That's probably an unlikely result given what's at stake. You know, I wouldn't think there'd be a 30-point margin. If there is, Perry Lakes probably have more concerns than whether they make the top eight. But, you know, that becomes really key, that Perry Lakes probably have the tiebreaker, even if the Redbacks end up winning this one. So, look, you can't state enough how big a game this is. You know, Redbacks get a win. It's probably more crucial for them because they then have the Senators, the Flames and the Giants to finish the season in their last three.
Tough run home
for
them.
That's a really tough run home. That is the fifth place Senators currently, the second place Flames and the fourth place Giants on the run home. Perry Lakes, on the other hand, even if they lose this game and go to 9-10, their last three games are the East Perth Eagles, Lakeside Lightning and Kalamunda Eastern Suns. They are currently 11th, 12th and 13th in the standings.
All teams looking to be spoilers, but you'd have to think that the Hawks would be looking to clock up at least two or three wins out of that group.
Yeah, and look, the Eagles are you know, they've invested in the second half of their season and you know, they're pushing teams a little more than they were in the first half. So that's not a gimme. Lakeside, not a gimme. You know, they've shown that they can pull off big results as well. You know, Donny Vaughan's play, you know, when he's hitting his straps, playing particularly well, they're a very different side and a different proposition. But they would, the way you look at those three games is they would be expecting to win all three, whereas the Redbacks, you look at those three games, they'll be hoping to win two of three. You know, it's a very different outlook. So, you know, they could, again, that's where this tiebreak becomes so important. The Hawks have it, which means that the Redbacks probably need to basically win out from here to make finals. It makes it so, so tough on them, you know, that they have to. And look, Mandurah's sitting just above them, but they're two wins clear at the moment. It's they do have a game in hand on Mandurah, but it's hard to see them, you know, getting knocked out of the finals from here. And Coburn's there at 11-7 as well, so there's the chance that maybe they drop too, because, you know, both of these teams have the potential to end up on 12 wins. Yeah, it becomes a battle between these two. So Perry Lakes, yeah, huge night Friday night. You feel like if Redbacks lose, their season's on life support. If Perry Lakes lose, you feel like there's still a good chance that they make finals. So I feel like it is a crucial swing game, but it's more crucial for the Redbacks than it is for the Hawks at home. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Sticking with the men, also on Friday night, the Senators take on the Cougars in what's set to be a big one. And looking at Saturday, the Bucks and the Wolves facing off in what's a very intriguing matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, two of the best teams in the competition at the moment. And first versus third in the men's standings, the Wolves have had a couple of great wins over the last few weeks. You know, we talked at length with Jonathan Wade about his buzzer beater against the Flames, and then they go out and beat the Senators. And you know, consign the Senators to being outside the top four at the moment too. That's how crucial a loss that was for them, and how big a win that was for Joondalup, as they're now two games clear with four games to go. So, you know, yeah, that's a big one on Saturday. And yeah, looking forward to seeing the result of that. And, you know, that a win for either of, you know, for the Bucks, I should say, locks away a top two spot for them. Means they are playing first week of the finals at Active West Stadium, which would be a huge boon for them to lock that up with a couple of games left. And Joondalup, they get the win. Top two is a possibility all of a sudden. You know, they get that win and they could, you know, get HBF Arena rocking in a qualifying final against a fellow top four team on that first week of the finals. That's a big swing game as well. And the Bucks will be looking to atone for what they would see as a poor result on the weekend.
Well, before we take a break and circle back and chat about the upcoming women's games, perhaps the layup and the air ball for this weekend, perhaps are they on the men's side?
So they're actually on the women's side, but I'll hazard a little tease going into our women's preview. My layup on the weekend, and I'll have to, the listeners will have to wait till after the break to get my elaboration on this. My layup is the Coburn Cougars to end the Warwick Senators winning streak this Friday night.
Ooh, I think that's, Ben Pether won't be happy with you.
He won't be happy, but I'll elaborate on why after the break. I think that's something that I would put in as my layup. It's a risky layup, but I think I put that in as my layup. And the air ball, and we can elaborate more on this, is the women's standings at the moment and the current final setup. There are two teams that are 6 wins and 10 losses. At this point of the season, battling it out for a spot in the finals. There's two teams that are 4-12 who are mathematical chance of making the finals. And there is a possibility that one of those two teams makes the finals ahead of the two teams that are 6-10. Are we really happy with a top eight format in a 13-team competition, especially when the top three or four teams, you could probably count Mandurah in there now, the three or four teams of this competition are so dominant that none of the teams below are really pinching wins off them? And that these teams are languishing, having won, you know, won 6 games out of 16, you know, a third to 40% of their games on the season. Is that something we want to see, or do we want the finals to be something more aspirational, you know, that maybe is maybe a top six setup better or something like that? So I feel like that's my, I know usually airball is a bit of a prediction, but that's my airball, because there is a possibility that there's a team that finishes 8-12 on the season will be playing finals.
I'm wondering if you're shooting a layup from the three-point line, but let's find out after the break here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk bill Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. Let's get this thing started. The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. It's now time to preview the women's round coming up in round 16. Plenty of games once again with plenty of flavour and finals flavour in them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a great weekend, and you know, a lot of ladder position at stake. Again, Friday night is crucially important for all four of the teams in the women's side that are in action on Friday night. That's a huge night for them, and you know, one of them seasons on life support. One of them, they're looking to hold their place in the top eight. One of them's looking to push credentials for a top four finish and potentially sneak in late in the season. And the other one's looking to continue a huge win streak. So it's, certainly high stakes on Friday night, and that continues into the games throughout Saturday.
Well, before the break, we spoke about the layup and the air ball. So let's get the lowdown on that.
Yeah. So look, my thoughts behind it, you know, Coburn beating Warwick is... part of me based this off Janelle Morley's chat, where she said, and we've all heard it in the chat, where she said, you know, we were banking on Joondalup, you know, maybe having a monkey on their back with this huge win streak that they had going, and maybe it's a relieving loss for them, you know, because you want those losses to be now rather than the finals. You know, no coach goes in with that mentality, but I guess it kind of gives you an insight into maybe there's a letdown game coming for the Senators. They're on a huge roll, 13 in a row. That's the intangible part of it. The tangible part of it is that this will be the fourth game in 7 days for the Warwick Senators. They played back-to-back last weekend. They're playing the Centre of Excellence this week. And then they also have this game on the Friday night. The 4 games in 7 days. We already talked about the fact they haven't gone into their depth too much this season. And especially over the last few weeks when they've had some really tough matchups. If Coburn come out firing and play as well as they can. You know, if Jewel Williams starts distributing the ball well and shooting pretty well, they've got big shooters in, you know, Kat Tudor, Alina Hartman. They've got the big presence on the inside in Jessie Edwards. Their starting five is formidable, really formidable. You know, if they can get that rhythm going, they are, and they have a lot to play for as well. Like, they are three games back at the moment of the Mandurah Magic for fourth spot, but they have a game in hand. And they need to win this game because it is their game in hand. You know, this is the one that they need to steal. So I feel like there's more on the line for Cockburn. And Warwick are coming off a really tough schedule, having played, as I said, four games in 7 days. That's a really tough schedule on semi-professional athletes. I just feel like this is, if there's going to be one that drops for Warwick, it's going to be this one. Because they're scheduled the rest of the season. I can't see them losing any of those games. And then you're looking at finals. So I feel like if there is one to drop, it's this one. And I feel like Cockburn will be really up for the challenge.
The Cougars are certainly the highest rated team of their remaining games before the finals, at least anyway. So could be one to watch out for on the Friday night.
That was
for
my
sure.
rationale behind that one. It's the intangible of, you know, the intangibles that we touched on of, you know, big win streak, pressure, you know, is there a release valve in there somewhere to get the monkey off the back? And like the tangible fatigue factor for Warwick. I know they're playing at home, so, you know, maybe there's a little bit more energy to be gathered from the crowd there, but they're coming off a super tough week. It'll be really interesting to see how their minutes are managed and if, you know, if the Cougars do force the Senators to get into their depth, whether they can exploit that. That was my thought process behind that one.
And the air ball.
So that's the women's ladder. Okay, so we'll look at the two teams that are fighting for that eighth spot at the moment, and we can talk about them. So it's Perry Lakes and Goldfields. Now, they've played each other twice this year. Perry Lakes has the head-to-head advantage, so they have the tiebreaker at the moment when the standings shake down at the end of the year. They have the tiebreaker because they've won... it's 1-1, but they had a bigger win in their game over Goldfields. So they have that advantage there. Now, they finished their season against the Redbacks that we touched on, the Eagles, the Lightning, and the Eastern Suns. So they've got an easier, to a degree, run home than Goldfields, who play the Mandurah Magic, tough one, top four team. The Eastern Suns, Cockburn, that's their only home game left this season for the Goldfields Giants, which is a bigger factor for them than most teams, and the Redbacks. So similar but slightly more challenging. They've got Mandurah and Cockburn, who are fourth and fifth at the moment, you know, whereas Perry Lakes, you know, don't have those challenges remaining this season to get themselves into the finals. But the broader discussion is they're both 6-10. There's a good chance, you know, a better than even chance that these two teams could finish 8-12. On the season, you know, if they go 2-2 from here for the rest of the year, they could both finish 8-12, and they'll be the teams that are fighting for a final spot. Or are we better off going, you know, just slightly tweaking the finals format and going a top six, you know, 6 out of 13, 6 out of 14, in that, and going, okay, so we only want those that are above average to be playing finals. So at the moment, in the men's, six are missing out. The way I, you know, and this is just the way I like to see finals. I like it to be absolute best on best, and you're earning your way into it. You kind of feel like these two teams are falling into a final spot. If they get there, then, you know, they're going to have really below average seasons and still make finals and play finals. You know, one of them is anyway. Do we want to see that, or do we want to see the top six reward? And I know the clubs will say more teams that make the finals, the better, because it is beneficial for every club. And I do see that perspective. Like, I feel like, but as someone who watches for the enjoyment of the game, I feel like it needs to be more exclusive. There needs to be something more aspirational. And maybe the top eight setup, you know, it's not going anywhere for now, but maybe that isn't it at the moment, because, you know, the difference between the haves and the have-nots in the women's competition is enormous. And I don't want to be seeing that play out on like semi-final night. Yeah, so I think it's just a fascinating discussion to have.
Well, I think you touched on the root cause there, that top three or four teams has been so dominant throughout the years. They've certainly, let's say, distributed the record of some of those lower teams accordingly and really only had losses amongst themselves for the most part.
Yeah, we haven't seen those upset losses. So I guess then, you know, it becomes, is it a fault of the final setup, or is it, you know, just a case of these three or four teams are really developing and recruiting their talent so much better than the other 9 or 10 teams in the women's competition, talking exclusively about the women's competition at the moment. Is that the case there? So it's just an interesting discussion to have for me. And look, it's not going to have a huge impact on this season necessarily, but one to have a look at. But Yeah, I guess from a women's perspective, that means that Perry Lakes against the Redbacks is a pivotal game for the Hawks and for the Redbacks. You know, there's a chance they still make it, but their season's gone if they don't win that game, and they're 4-12. You know, I can't see them winning all four from here. And then Goldfields Mandra, you know, can they come to Perth and go down to Mandra and take a game from a top four team, and, you know, show that maybe the imbalance isn't there. It's going to be really hard, as we touched on, without Gemma Gaddy. That's going to make it really, really tough on Goldfields. But if they pinch that game, all of a sudden, yeah, there is a lot of interest in what's remaining in the season. So yeah, the top eight is here, and it's here to stay. That, I guess, that means that these games are that touch more intriguing.
I think certainly the Giants at this point don't have that depth to cover the loss of somebody like a Gaddy, unfortunately, at this point. So I'll certainly be pleased to be proven wrong on that one. But yeah, I think we'll be looking for a magic victory out of that one. That's my layout for the week. I'm going to back the magic on that one, I think. Look, we're still going to chat with Corey Richardson, the captain of the Southwest Slammers, Bunbury boy at heart. He'll be back on the other side of this on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
2-0-1-5.
Yeah, it feels so good.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Jordan Scardetta with you. And now, as promised, from the Southwest Slammers, we've got Corey Richardson on the line. Welcome along.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. Now, we haven't had anyone from the men's Slammers so far this year, and we were waiting for a win. You've done us proud. You've got the win on the weekend. Congratulations in a tight one.
Yeah, no, it's good to definitely get another one on the board. The boys have been working hard, and yeah, it's good to see that hard work be rewarded, that's for sure.
Look, in recent years, the wins have perhaps been a little bit slim pickings down there for the Slammers. How does the group sort of keep that motivation going during the season, and some of the young guys who you're bringing through as well? How do you tend to support them through those leaner times?
Yeah, definitely been a lean couple of years, but just tell them it's all part of the process. Like, every club's going to go through a rebuild. So yeah, it's definitely good, a learning curve, as you could say, for these young guys now to get their butts handed to them a little bit by the more experienced sort of clubs. But then once the other clubs lose, like, your more experienced guys, it's going to be our turn, really. Like, they're going to start taking away, as you could say, just because, like, they've got a couple of years of playing a lot of minutes against a great competition, and yeah, like, giving them that next step they need, really.
I first knew of you when you were with the Hawks, actually, but you're a Bunbury boy originally, aren't you? You've circled back home.
Yeah, born and bred from Bunbury. Moved to Perth for work purposes with my old man's construction company, and yeah, Trevor Pugh got me to come to the Perry Lakes Hawks, and yeah, absolutely loved my time up there. It's a fantastic club there, that's for sure.
And looking back on your own history, you had the opportunity to represent Australia in those under-17 world champs and under-20 state teams and things like that for WA. So you've really got quite a history there. That must have been a huge opportunity.
Yeah, the under-17 world tournament was an eye-opening experience. It's a huge honour to represent your country in anything. But yeah, that tournament was something I'll never forget. It's crazy to think that was over 12 years ago now. Doesn't really feel that long ago. I still remember it was like yesterday, hearing your name read out to say you've made the final team, and, you know, missing out on school to go play for your country. I mean, who wouldn't want to do it?
Absolutely, I can imagine. Corey, you touched on, I guess, the rebuild process and those kind of things with the Slammers, given the youth that's in your squad. But that youth is all sort of on the verge of taking the next step in their careers at the moment. Run us through, like, the development you've seen in your time with guys like Caleb van der Grind and Tanner Vogel, and detail for us, like, what the next steps are for them, for those who don't know.
Caleb van der Grind's probably his second year with us now, I think, and he kind of come out of nowhere. Like, he's family of farmers in Bridgetown sort of area. They're from the USA originally. So, yeah, Caleb was a shock when I first saw him. And, yeah, he's got great hands for a big man. And I've heard he's got himself a college offer, I think, in somewhere in Iowa, I think. So that's very exciting for him. It's definitely going to hurt us for when he goes, but he's a great young player, and yeah, it's a great step for him. Tanner Vogel has a junior college offer. I think he's just accepted, so he's looking forward to taking off at the end of the season. And yeah, he's definitely come a long way from the skinny little kid that he was. He's like a solid 6'10", 6'11" now, and he has great range. He can handle the ball really well. So no, he's definitely a promising young fella, that's for sure.
And you've had Boytouch come into the squad this season, and obviously he hits the game, what ends up being the game winner on the weekend in the last 10 seconds, and things go nuts. Tell us the influence that a guy like that coming in has on a young group, and can you speak to the influence that other guys from around the group have had on the young guys in as we said, what's been a tough season?
Boy come in, and yeah, Boy's an unbelievable athlete, probably one of the best I've ever played alongside or with. And yeah, he's very knowledgeable, very likeable guy. He knows his stuff, and he definitely brings a lot of energy, which the young guys feed off really well. But yeah, like we've got like another veteran guy, one of my good friends who I grew up with, in James Goodlad. So it's definitely good to have another older veteran guy come back who has a lot of basketball experience behind him. And we just kind of just trying to steer these guys into staying. Just, yes, the wins aren't coming right now, but they're going to come. And when they come, they will keep coming. And kind of just trying to teach them to hate. Just stay with it. Just keep working hard. At the end of the day, it will prove itself. And we did that on the weekend. We managed to steal one away from Lakeside at their home. But we've been in contention with a lot of games. We've only been blown out once or twice this year. But, yeah, they're working really hard. And we'll get there eventually. It won't be this year. It might be next year. But it's definitely going to happen for these young guys, that's for sure. And they're starting to understand that now. And they're definitely all ready to take that next step, that's for sure.
So when the things, you know, when the chips have been down and things aren't going well, who is the person that steps up in the room and, you know, amongst the squad, whether it be at training or game day or whatever, and keeps things light? Like, is that a sort of team thing that you guys do, or is there one person who you feel is, you know, the centrepiece of picking everyone up and reminding everyone that we're out here to play a game?
That basically falls on my shoulders being the captain. You have to learn to pick everyone up and keep things lighthearted. We have a bit of a joke to make everyone laugh, and then we get back to the real message of, hey, it's, at the end of the day, it's just a game. We all love playing basketball. At the end of the day, we win some, we lose some. But you got to remember, like, at the end of the day, it is just a game. And, yeah, we try to keep it as lighthearted as we can, and just remember that we're always going to keep going back to work, and we're just going to keep fighting for everything regardless.
Looking at your run home, a few games left to go in the season for you guys. You may have looked at the East Perth Eagles based on ladder positions and thought that was a game that you'd be looking to get, but they're a team that's actually retooled quite a bit during the second half of the season. Have you tracked their progress?
I haven't seen their progress so much, but I've definitely seen some of the ins they've got now. Like, they've just had Lee Roberts and Jack Medry's back, like, couple of really big ins, and to add that with Justin King and their local young guys, like, they're not a light team to take lightly at all. Like, they never were. So it's definitely going to be a good fight with them, and I think we got Coburn and Mandra as well. Like, the run home for us isn't going to be easy at all. Like, they're all pushing. They should be like up their team. Like, they're great teams. They fight just as hard as we do. And yeah, like, Coburn are been a staple in the league for that long, that they're just a great team. So it's definitely not going to be an easy one for us, but we're definitely looking forward to the fight and the challenge put ahead of us, that's for sure.
Corey, we really appreciate your time here on the NBL One West radio show, and we wish you good luck for being a bit of a spoiler and stealing one or two more before the season's out.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Corey Richardson there, the captain of the Southwest Slammers in the NBL One West.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back as we round things out here at the NBL One West radio show. Some good chats with Corey Richardson and Janelle Morley this week.
Yeah, certainly fascinating insights from them. I loved learning a lot more about the Southwest Slammers as a squad, but I've been calling NBL One West games for a couple of years now. I haven't seen them live. I haven't seen the Southwest Slammers yet. So that's one, you know, I'll have to, you know, break that streak at some point of not seeing those games. But it's fascinating hearing about those squads and, you know, who sort of is the straw that stirs the drink in those squads. And you're getting it from an insider perspective like Corey was great. And, yeah, look, hearing Janelle's thoughts on her team and the way the season's going and, you know, she is very one game at a time mentality, you know, which is very admirable for the coach. But, you know, how to keep the lid on the team when there's the 13-game win streak going and something like that to keep alive was certainly fascinating. And yeah, hearing her brief thoughts as they were, but thoughts about, you know, introducing more diversity into the NBL One West competition was certainly great and good to get that perspective and I guess get some people thinking about how we go about doing things like that.
As finals approach, just to clarify about those sort of tiebreakers when teams are on the same splits, should they have played a home and away game against each other, then of course it's based on that head-to-head record. But if there's an uneven, because we do have an uneven mix within the competition, sometimes only playing once or whatever, then it goes to an overall win-loss percentage across all of your games.
Yeah, so when that's going to be pertinent is in the men's competition, probably most likely between Goldfields and Warwick. So between the Giants and the Senators, they only played each other once this year and they're only going to play each other once this year. It was a win for Goldfields at Niels Hansen. So that one is done purely on percentage throughout all of the games this year. It's not a head-to-head record, so we touched on Perry Lakes Hawks and Perth Redbacks in the men's and Perry Lakes Hawks and Goldfields in the women's, how theirs is done on their head-to-head record because they each played each other at home and away. This one's not the case. This is purely going to be done on percentage. So if Goldfields and Warwick in the men's end up on an equal number of wins, which is very possible, they're only separated by one at the moment, to determine fourth versus fifth on the season, it'll come down to overall percentage. So It's a bit of a different way of interpreting the table. It's not like an Australian rules football standings where it's purely done on win loss record and percentage. No, head to head matters. So that's why, and I like that because it feels like every game is important. Then you can't take a night off. You know, it's one of those, okay, head to head records matter, and you know. And it's not even you can't take a night off. You can't take a moment off because you need to close out this game and get a slightly bigger win because you know every point can be super important.
But let's lay the cards out on the table. We've got three predictions that are live now. Ben Pether is backing the Warwick Senators women's to continue their winning streak for the rest of this season. I'm backing both the Hawks men and women to wiggle their way into finals contention. And you're backing the Coburn Cougars over the Senators in women on the weekend, yeah?
Yeah, I feel like mine's maybe the highest.
You got some long odds.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the highest risk. I would certainly be collecting quite heavily if it were to come through. But yes, certainly that's what we're here for, to make predictions and have some fun with it. And
put your head in the ring.
Absolutely. And look, it's a season that's been kind of like that. There's been, you know, some topsy-turvy things that have happened and some unexpected wins and losses, particularly on the men's side. And look, time will tell how that ends up shaking out the standings over these last three rounds, because I love the fact that we're still talking about who might be able to sneak into finals this close to the finals. You know, it's great, and talking about finals positions, it's great, which probably is a counter argument to my the latter should be more exclusive argument from earlier, because it gives everyone a shot until very, very late in the season that this is happening. So it's a lot of fun, and we've got three great weeks coming up.
You can see all the games over at nbl1.com.au/west. Get around to your local association or check out the games online or through the NBL One app. If you'd like to check out this radio show and podcast on replay, you can see us over at TuneIn, Podomatic, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Jordan Scardetta, thank you once again for your input.
Thank you, Brett. And another fun week. And I look forward to being back on board in a couple of weeks when it's going to be awards time. We're going to be winding up to the awards night at the end of the season. It's going to be an absolute beauty. Look forward to it.
Something to look forward to. And hopefully we can create a few of our own special awards as well.
I might have to work on that.
Not the usual categories, maybe.
I like that. I'll work on that over the next fortnight for sure.
Sounds good. Jordan Scardetta and Brett Costello, NBL One West Radio Show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.